This is WVFI, the voice of the Fighting Irish. You're listening to Benton Frank College Conversations. I'm your host, Frankie Hernandez, alongside my co-host, Bentley Jose. And today, we're talking about sports in the academic setting. And to clarify, we're not a sports show, but we're just talking about sports.
Yeah, and I think especially this is an interesting topic in light of this weekend. Notre Dame had a great weekend. Playing New Mexico, putting up 66 on them. So definitely in light of the general vibes around campus, college sports tend to really affect our environment around us.
And I think especially here at Notre Dame.
Yeah,
it's especially like a big school college like Notre Dame.
And you look around today, everybody's really, really happy.
And everyone's really stressed because no one did homework on Saturday or Friday or Thursday, naturally.
So you look at things like that and you're like, wow, like this one sport that takes up like 3 to 4 hours of game time or something like that, the influence that's having throughout the week, the influence that it has on that day itself, it's huge. It's huge.
I mean, just here, like Notre Dame, you say things like, professors will ask you like, oh, you guys going to go watch a game or like have a good game weekend? Students asking like, oh, where are you guys going to go to the game?
Yeah.
Who's going to be tailgating?
Yeah.
Those conversations are already happening like probably by Thursday.
Yeah.
At least for me, like Thursday classes, everyone's like,
for sure.
Hey, have a safe and fun.
Yeah,
like
you're checked
game.
Out for that weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Once, like, at least for like arts and letters kids, which most of us, like, we only have class like up until Thursday for the most part. Like once Thursday hits, you're checked out.
You're looking at football on Saturday, and beyond that, you start seeing all the people coming onto campus, these new adults and all that you've never seen before.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
everybody's a tourist, and
baby strollers exponentially increase on campus. Baby strollers, dogs, and elderly people.
Yeah.
You can definitely see it once. Oh, and then tour guides. Oh,
tour
my
guides
gosh.
Everywhere.
Like, all day Friday.
And that's, like, mad commitment, man.
Oh, my gosh. These it's crazy. Like, and, like, it happens all the time. So, like, again, it's, like, a big deal here at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's, at least from my experience, like, I didn't know or expect being a freshman here, like, coming in, how big sports were going to be. And I think it's just, first of all, like, I came from a really small high school. And, like, sports in general, like, they were big, but it was, like, a small-town feeling, you know?
Mm.
It's not, like, it brings people together, but it's not the defining factor or a defining characteristic of, like, a small community like mine.
Yeah.
So when you go to, like, games, it's not as big as, like, obviously college, but I feel like some high schools have big games, like, big Friday nights. Like, the whole show, Friday Nights, right? Yeah, Friday Lights or something like that, like, never had that experience. Like, it's like high school to the top. Like, I've never had that.
That's a huge transition. Like, I think in my case, we're definitely not a school that gets particularly recruited or anything. Like, we had good sports. We competed pretty well in states and such. But the levels of differences that you see from, like, that sort of saying, we're like, yeah, sports are cool, and you win a championship, and it's like, oh my gosh, like, you think it's a big deal, like, you at that very small city.
Mm-hmm.
And you go from that to, like, this venue that's quite honestly global. Like, people know Notre Dame around the world. You don't necessarily have to be, like, a football fan or anything. People know. Like, when you hear Notre Dame, you know about, like, the legacy that school has
legacy,
had forever in sports. And it's crazy because I think, like, they were talking about it on the video board this past weekend. I think Lou Holtz was talking to the team. There was, like, the clip of Lou Holtz talking to the players on the team. And he's telling them, like, you don't know the impact that you have on millions. And I started thinking in my head, I'm like, millions? I was like, okay, well, there's, like, 75,000-odd people in the stadium right now. So that's, like, a good start. And then you think about the, like, national television audience that they have. Or, like, every other team in the college sphere who's looking at Notre Dame and, like, how did Notre Dame do this weekend? Even if you don't want us to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're looking at it and you're paying attention to it. And
I mean, even locally too, like Notre Dame, like at least when I travel to Indianapolis with Julie, like it's just like you see Notre Dame everywhere, like Notre Dame and Purdue everywhere. But you see Notre Dame stuff sold in like every store.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be like, I don't know, like an actual bookstore, just like any store, whether it's like a pharmacy or a grocery store, anything. You'll see some bit of Notre Dame gear right next to Purdue. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's huge. And you got to kind of think about the weight of expectation, the weight of pressure that puts on these athletes as well. right? I think to a very general degree, we look at these athletes and we kind of think of them as only being beneficiaries of everything that comes with this. Mm. And okay, you can make some arguments for that. I mean, obviously you get to be on live television, you get to play, you get all the glory, you get all the hoopla, 75,000 people cheering you on. It's right. Everybody's dream. But at the same time, man, like just being a high school varsity athlete myself, the pressure that you felt going into a game that you probably had like 15 odd fans come to watch. There were probably like three people who legitimately cared what the outcome of that game was. And you felt pressure. You're going to your classes. You're going to everything thinking about, oh, the game later today. You're not in class. Like you're there in body, but your spirit is on that soccer field waiting to get out there and make a result. And that's on such a small scale. You look at these athletes, right? And Notre Dame, we all know academically how difficult this institution is. And so when you gotta balance like performing there, obviously, mm-hmm. But also with that weight of expectation every weekend, like we know our Notre Dame fan base, we don't give our team a break. Like we have high expectations. You could say that's warranted, but at the same time, like we don't give them a break. Even this New Mexico game, we ended up putting 66 past them, but the first quarter was rough. Mm. Like first possession, we stall out, and everybody's already booing. Everybody's already like,
"Oh my gosh!"
You have no like wiggle room. You have no forgiveness sometimes from the fans.
It's crazy how like quiet the stadium can get when it's moments like that. Like, yeah. And I don't know if it's just like just Notre Dame or with other sports and like other teams. Like, when we're not doing well, people get quiet, and like you can hear like players hitting. Like even from like the stands, you can hear like silence of like. Yeah. When everyone's stressed out, on their edge, not saying anything.
And imagine being on that field in, like, deafening silence, and you got to do your job.
Oh, my gosh, that's crazy.
It's crazy pressure, right? We glorify these things, and I don't think we put enough stock into how difficult it is for them to go out and do those things. I mean, and I say that, and I'm still going to be the guy who gets really mad if Ian Book throws an interception. I'm going to lose my mind, right? Because that's what we as fans do. We see these things, and I don't think we give these players enough value in terms of like what they're trying to do and all.
Yeah, do you think that like this idea of like having a sports industry where there's a clear distinction of like there's players and then there's like fans, right?
Mm.
Like making that distinction of like you're in a role and then the other players are in a role. Do you think that like dehumanizes like the players or like the fans or vice versa? Like
I think it works kind of both ways though. You know what I mean? Like I feel like when you talk about that sort of dynamic nowadays, you always hear like no matter what the result of the game is, you interview a Notre Dame football player after the game and it's a home game, they're gonna say the fans were spectacular, the fans always have our back.
Yeah, but it's like the fans. Like it's
But it's like a collective, like the fans.
Yeah.
So and then likewise we look at them, right, and we say like the players. We just I think for both sides maybe we view the other side only in forms of like the utility that they give.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and like let's be real here, the fans have such an impact on how these games go.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a reason why Notre Dame hasn't lost at home in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like
that's true.
When you have those many, like so many people cheering you on, pumping you up, getting excited for you, adrenaline, man, it gets you. You get going, you play better, you work harder. But then likewise, when it gets down, when people are like depressed,
when people
are booing, when people are angry, you just get sloppier. It gets in your head. You get nervous. You start making mistakes.
Right, do you think that's like healthy though? Like thinking of like from an athletic perspective, and granted, like we're not collegiate varsity athletes and we don't know. We don't understand like the complexities and nuances of that experience. Like when I was in high school and I played basketball, I mean, first of all, I really hated high school sports. I was not a fan of it, but like it was nice hearing everyone's cheers and stuff like when you're on the court, but it's a lot of pressure. At least maybe it's just my own anxiety, but I feel like whenever I was at least in a team sport, especially a team sport, when you are so integral like basketball, where you have five players just out there, there is so much pressure of like one, like performing and performing in front of people.
Yeah.
And especially like if in a high school setting where you know everyone, right? Like these are like your friends and family, which like it's a lot of pressure because you're going to hear crap afterwards if you do badly, you know? Like that's a lot of pressure. And again, I don't know if it was beneficial for me in the long run or like post high school, or if it just drew me out of the sports. Like after
that's interesting.
Those years of like playing basketball, like again, I came from like a really small school and everyone was like pretty much coerced into like playing sports. Maybe it's like different.
I think from my end, I personally loved having the fans there. Because I think like from my perspective as a player, when the fans were there, you just tended to put on a show for them. You go out of your way to like maybe pull off a different kind of skill. You're like, you're playing to the fans, you're playing to the ear. And I think a key difference is, right, at a high school level, nobody truly has the expectations on you that they have in college, right? At the same time, like, I think the expectations that you have at that level are only the ones that you put on yourself. If you do not care what your classmate thinks of how you played or what your parents are going to say when you get back in that car and drive home, I mean, you're going to be pretty numb to the experience. I think from my end, you know, I had...
Is that even possible, though?
How so?
Like, players playing varsity in high school.
Being numb to it?
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
No way.
100%. And I think as an athlete, sometimes that annoyed me. But I don't know if there was a reason for that. Because if you look back at it, right, like, we're playing at, like, this small, like, private school level amongst like a couple of schools, and then we win, we play states, and then maybe we go on to play in like New England. It's not really a national thing. It's not really like a
global. That's still a big deal though.
It's a big deal, but when you compare it with something like the scale of college sports, it's nothing in comparison. And so I think when you go through that sort of system, right, like you feel the pressures of it. You feel the pressures of a lot of these fans and the stresses and all that come along with it. But at the same time, I don't think you ever have that feeling of like letting collective amounts of people down, right? Like no matter how bad that game was, there's going to be somebody else who like picks you up and it's like, eh, whatever, dude. Uh-huh. But at a college level, at like that sort of level, I don't think we cut these players any slack. Especially if you're like coming from one of these big name schools, like a Notre Dame, like an Alabama, like a Clemson. Take, for example, Clemson. Clemson is one of the most destructive college football teams I've ever seen.
Destructive as in like a
like good. Destructive as in a good, well, depending on who you ask. I mean, watching it, you're just like, this is destruction. I mean, you can make your opinions about what that means for the game, but you watch a team like that, and you know full well, right? Like, everything, it's all good when they keep winning. They absolutely thrashed Syracuse this past weekend.
So sad.
And you can watch that and be like, oh, like, this is awesome. They're so good. But I'm telling you, the second that they drop a game, if they ever, if Clemson ever loses a game this season, oh, that fan base is going to turn.
You think so?
Yeah.
Even just with one game?
They turned on him in like the first couple of minutes of the Syracuse game. A couple of incomplete passes, a couple of interceptions, and everybody was like, oh.
So do you feel like
the offensive coordinator's not calling the right plays, everything. Like, dude, you're winning by like 30. You know? The expectation at that level is crazy. And I mean, even Notre Dame.
I feel like that happens anywhere, though. Like, even like at the Notre Dame game, like, someone threw a flag on an ND player, and, like, everyone totally commits
at like 40
to the
up.
Notre Dame side.
At, like, 40 up.
Yeah. Like, it's, like, yeah. It just seems, like, excessive. Like, it's okay. Like, don't fight the flag. Like, it's fine. But, like, even in high school, that was the same thing. Like, if your home team had a flag called on, it's, like, everyone will always fight the flag.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like a thing. It's like a mob mentality. Like, parents are always going to fight it. Everyone's always going to fight it, no matter what. Like, it's like, there's no, I don't know. It's like a different attitude.
Yeah. And honestly, if you watch that game, like, I don't think the refs got a lot wrong. Every single time they called a pass interference. Yeah, we pass interference like crazy.
Oh, yeah, we did. It was like at least a four times.
You know, and everybody's like booing the refs. I'm like, they're right. I mean, I'll boo too, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, And so, like, that's, if you're a player, that's a good thing, you know, because the fans are backing you is up it on though? All of those. Well, it, from a player's standpoint, I think so. Like, if you're thinking about moral reasons.
Like, that's the thing. That's the point, is that, like, as a player, you still have, like, you're still a human.
Yeah.
And are you expected to act like a human while you're playing sports?
Let's see.
Especially like football. Think of how aggressive football literally is.
And and that's a whole nother conversation, right? The cultures around these sports. Like, you take a sports culture like football. It's all about, like, the macho man, like, putting your team on your back, fighting for every yard. Like, you hear, no matter who you tune into, ESPN, whatever, right? They're all going to say the same thing. It's a battle. It's a war. Fighting for every yard. It's like, that's really much like the diagram that's been created about this. This is the imagery that we like to portray about football. Take a sport like soccer. Soccer is always referred to as the beautiful game. It's all about flair. It's all about beauty.
It's all about
the fanciness. Yeah, people call soccer the beautiful game. And it's so funny because you look at, like,
do you feel like, as a soccer player, is that even true? Like, you're running around, you're all hot, you're all sweaty, yeah, you're tired.
Physically,
beautiful game of
physically
soccer.
It doesn't feel that beautiful, but I think, so let's take soccer, right? Let's run with soccer a little bit here. I think soccer's got so many intricacies to it, especially on an international level. Like, I don't care if you like soccer or not, but you have to understand the global implications that this game has. The World Cup is huge.
Yeah.
Like, when we talk about TV audiences, the Super Bowl is like a fraction of how many people tune into, like, maybe a regular game at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole nother level. We don't really get that when we're in the U.S. because, you know, the Super Bowl is everything for us. And so these people are going and representing their nations, and everybody has a different sort of expectation put on them. Like, if you're from Brazil, they've won the most World Cups, right? They're always dominant. But even when they're winning games, their fans will turn on them just for not even playing the game in a certain style. The samba style of Brazilian soccer. Oh, there wasn't enough flair. We're playing too gritty.
That's a thing. There's not, in soccer?
Yeah. So that's why I say, like, when you take something like a term like the beautiful game that soccer's kind of been stereotyped to be, there's something to it.
Do you think it's like self-perpetuating though? Like, do you think American football could ever be spoken with that same rhetoric of, like, it's a beautiful game, or it's like, it's a smart game, it's a game about tactics?
I think it's like, spoken with the rhetoric of just being like a man's game, almost
a man's game,
like a stereotypical, like, this is like everybody's fighting, like we play it almost like it's a war. And I mean, I think the players and the fans alike buy into it. And to be honest, that's the endearing aspect of football to a certain degree. You know what I mean? What do people criticize soccer about? They say the players are too soft.
That's right? True. Yeah.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
So to some degree, the endearing part of football itself is that fight about it, that violence about it. I mean,
this
yesterday.
Is like it's like a romanticized country song. I mean, it's true. Like, okay, if you think, no, just listen to me. Like, country songs always romanticize football, the farmer, and America. Okay?
He's not being stereotypical. Like, this is, like, his culture.
I mean,
so he's
like,
not...
I'm just saying, like, looking from a country boy. Like, that's
coming,
like,
from a country boy himself.
Like, that's what, like, country is about. It's, like, about sports. It's about high school. It's about, like, growing up.
Yeah.
Okay. And football is always romanticized in country. Okay.
Name the day that a country music singer sings about a soccer game. Never.
Never.
Never. Not in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Never. It's not.
But I'm like saying, like, I understand, like, there's like a beauty in that type of, like, romanticized version of it. Like, I think I get that. And, like, there's a beauty in, like, the sense of, like, community that comes through sports, and that sense of, like. Yeah, there's a global platform, like, the sense, or at least, like, as a student, like, wow, like, my school has, like, global attention. That's really, it makes me feel good about myself.
No, especially at Notre Dame.
And, like, everyone, like, especially here, you have, like, old alumni families always coming in.
Yeah.
That's beautiful and stuff, but, like, you know, like, the stuff that happens, like, before football, after football.
Right.
Like, you know, for lack of a better word, like, the debauchery that happens sometimes in some with sports in general. Like, do you just, can you criticize, and that's the point, is it fair or unfair to criticize sports for the debauchery, or is it just the fans? Like, obviously, like, can players control that? Like, if I am a football player, or if I am, let's say something that, I don't know, that pertains to me, like a cross-country runner, and I am running, and the better I do, the more drunk people get. I mean, I would question my life decisions a little bit. Or do you just, or is that just like out of your control? Like,
it's out of your control, right? Like, these are the choices that your fans make. And I think fan bases are interesting, right? Like, we're talking from the perspective of a fan base that is going out there expecting to win every single day of the week. But if you take somebody who's like supporting like New Mexico, for example, right? New Mexico fans, those, the select few that came up to the game, like, mad respect for those guys traveling all the way.
Right, yeah.
They know 100% they're going to lose, right?
Yeah.
So they're just going into it to have a good time. You know what I mean?
How are you
going to
have a good time if you got pummeled?
And I think you can, because you take it for the experience of it, right? The amount of people that come over to Notre Dame saying, like, I'm here at, like, one of the most famous institutions, watching one of the most historic sports teams. This is just like a fun day out. This is a vacation. I get to see my team play. Like, it's a big thing for people. I mean, even this next week itself, Georgia versus Notre Dame. But should it be a big thing?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to ask.
Well, I think...
Again, there's unity. There's beauty in that community.
Yeah.
There's people coming in. I mean, I appreciate the fact that there's actual normal families that you get to see on campus and not just a whole bunch of college people. I appreciate that. I'm just saying that... Like, at what point do you draw a line, or is it fair to draw lines? Like, how do you understand this? Like, this weird relationship between, like, players supporting people, players also, like, doing morally questionable things because of sports, and the player itself. Like, okay, for example, after Michigan games on campus, if you walk, like, with the whole, like, student section out of the stadium, there's a lot of verbal fights going on.
Among fans? Or
yeah, like between the two fan bases. Especially after the Michigan game. I remember last year it happened all the time. Mm. I was walking. Everyone has to walk from stadium to go to their hotel rooms. Mm. And you have to go through like a wave of students. And the ND kids always were instigating, what's it called, the Michigan fans. Like, mean, how do you, like, what do you say in that?
Based on the result, but... So I'll pitch you the other side of it, right? Coming out of that game, I ran into like this elderly Michigan guy who literally just came up and was like, that was a great game. Like, respect to you guys. And so I asked him something along the lines of what you're asking me right now, which is like, so like, you come here to South Bend to play your biggest rival and you lose and you still walk out of it like in a very respectable position of like, hey, it's just a game. How do you do that? And he's like, well, I've been watching this game forever. And I think like a lot of it is just like enjoying the sport itself and enjoying the competitive nature of it within it. But like, here's the problem that people run into, right? I think, and now we're going to go a little broader here, but people love entertainment, right? Okay. No matter what that medium is, for most people who go to these games, that entertainment medium is the sport itself. But what people have to be careful about is associating their identity with the sport itself.
See, exactly.
That's the dangerous part. When you literally, when you can't differentiate between like watching the game, and sure, you can pick a side while you're watching the game, but if you go out there and you're going to treat another team or another person who supports a different team differently just in light of events that happened there, that's dangerous.
Do you think that's a human thing to do, to identify with a group?
To do. And to be honest, like, my favorite sport, soccer, is so notorious for that.
Yeah.
Because people are so passionate about their teams. You hear about riots before games, you hear about riots after games, the politics. People die over these sorts of things.
That's crazy.
It's the, like, the levels that it has are crazy. And I'm not going to vilify sports here because I love sports. I watch pretty much every single sport. Like, I think it's just really interesting to watch, and I know how much it does for so many people. But I think, as with anything, right, like, if you associate yourself too much with a medium of entertainment, you don't know how to differentiate from it, right? Like, even like this past weekend, my favorite team, Manchester City, they lost to Norwich, which is like a team that like just got promoted from the championship into the Premier League. Mm. They had 11 players out injured. Like, this is like one team's worth like upwards of like 500 million and the other was worth like 15 million altogether. Mm. It's complete, like, and I should have been depressed about it, but I think naturally over time, as you start watching this game, you know to get, you associate yourself with the experience while you're having it, but you can't let that follow your character around. And I think when we talk about the impact of sports, I think the biggest time I ever felt that was my freshman year, your freshman year, mm. Notre Dame playing against Miami. Remember, we were having a great season. Dude, so far. We only lost to Georgia, and we go all the way down to Miami, and they just ruined everything. The turnover chain, everything, they hit us hard. Mm-hmm. That next week on campus was brutal. You walk around campus, everybody's walking with their head down.
See, like, I don't even notice that.
It totally impacts the community. Because for a lot of people, and I think especially at a college sports level, because, you know, when you're supporting a team like a Manchester City, or you're supporting like the Cleveland Cavaliers or something like that, right? You don't associate with it too much because you don't really have a lot of stock in it. When Notre Dame loses, we have stock in that. You know, that's our school. That's,
yeah.
I feel like I still want to question that, like, association. Like, I mean, yeah, I feel like if I say that, see, now that I'm just thinking about, like, if I say I do not associate myself with sports team, I feel like I'm kind of like disassociating myself from the community in general, which is kind of like, I would want to support individual players because they're part of my community and a part of like the student body, and I should be sad when they're sad in the sense that they lost like that. And I understand that like concept of like, that's how I guess I frame it. Like, I don't frame it as like my team lost even at a school, but like the fact that like there's like a number 52 like is dejected that he's sad, for example, just in this hypothetical, that he's sad because he didn't perform enough to beat someone else or something like that. Mm. To some degree, like the individual like sense of like, I'm sad because I didn't win that. I feel like I sympathize with that more than like the team loss.
So I think here's the difference, especially in college sports. So especially a team like Notre Dame, right? Notre Dame is very polarizing in college sports, especially because in football, we aren't in a conference. Mm-hmm. So people constantly give Notre Dame that whole idea that they're like overrated, they shouldn't belong at this like higher division of football, they shouldn't have made the playoffs last year. So especially a team like Notre Dame, people are just waiting for you to lose. People are just waiting
for
you to lose.
Yeah, I got that sense last year.
Yeah, all the time. No, oh, yeah. Especially a team like Notre Dame. So when we went down to Miami and Miami hit us like that, it was like Notre Dame itself became a laughing stock. You hear everybody on ESPN. You hear everybody like, Notre Dame, these guys don't belong here. These are people who got shut up every other week of the season, but the one chance they get to go out there. And yeah, I think at that level, it impacts you because that's your school.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting slagged off in the media.
Yeah, I see that then. I mean, okay, I think I'd send that
to you. It's different at a college level, right? Like, even when I watch, like, soccer teams and all play, there's a certain amount of disassociation I can have with it. Because if Manchester City goes and lose on the weekend, I'm like, I'm sad about it. But it's not going to reflect on me too much.
Yeah.
Right? Like, some people will come up and just be annoying and be like, hey, did you see the Manchester City game this weekend? It's like, haha, shut up. But other than that, right, nobody's going to be slagging off like something that, and like, especially when you take into account that Notre Dame is very much a part of our identity now, right? When you walk out of this place, when you go into the rest of your life, you're going to be a Notre Dame graduate. You're going to be a Notre Dame alumni. So when you take that, you kind of become associated with everything that comes along with it. So when that school gets like ragged on in the media and stuff, I think at that level, it's a lot
There's more at stake.
More, yeah. There's your public so much image more at is stake. At stake. The image of, like, to a certain degree, your identity is at stake there. And I think that's why, like, when people always comparing college football and, like, the NFL, college football is so different. Because, dude, if the New England Patriots go out there and lose on a given day, people are going to get mad. They're going to get, especially Boston fans, you know, yeah. They're going to get mad and all. But it won't reflect too much on them. But if you go to college sports and you're, like, the graduate of a certain school, you're a student at that school, when that team gets killed by the media, it's a reflection of you. And then on the other side of that, too, when it's going all well, like Notre Dame was last season, going undefeated in the regular season,
yeah,
you feel on top of the world. You're like, I go to the coolest school out there. Like,
you know, okay, I understand that, because that was like when we watched the Clemson game, we were at home, and I was watching with my parents. Oh,
that was rough.
That was so rough.
That was rough. I like, made the mistake of inviting lots of people to that
really?
Game.
Really?
Everybody's just staring at me the whole time like, this is your team?
Exactly. That's how I felt with my parents. And my parents are, like, inside their head, they're, like, thinking, like, we're paying for my child. For like, this? We're paying for this? Oh, my gosh.
It's different, right?
Yeah, it's so different. Okay, I get that point. I see you.
It reflects so differently at okay. that level.
Let's go back to the whole fan thing, though, because you said something earlier that I thought was really interesting. Like, what was it? It was like about like the whole fan base, like the like the fans and then the actual players.
Yeah.
Like, how far is too far for a fan? Like, okay, here's what I think. Like, if I was, let's say, okay, this would be really weird, but like, imagine if people were as excited about sports or in like majors.
Mm.
Like, let's say there was like a psychology team, a psych team.
Yeah, right.
And you had numbers and you're like, oh my gosh, Bentley outperformed all the other like majors for the psych department. He's such a badass. And they would give you a number. You had your face on random people's rooms. your profile was all over the interweb. You have this huge Instagram following. And let's say you are like sponsored by like Red Bull, because Red Bull keeps you up to do homework. I don't know, some shit like that, right? Like, isn't that a weird experience for you to be supported like that by random people who are kind of semi obsessed about you? Like what if you were like in a fantasy football league? Like, isn't that kind of weird that people are trading this weird like identity of you with people, and like they're like, you know, that's like the like that's kind of weird.
Who gets like, to fighting keep over you, for the you season.
Who keeps you?
Yeah,
isn't that weird? Like, as like an individual, when you have such a global impact on everyone, and people's identities are sort of semi placed on you. And they're at least their like reputations are placed upon your own reputations. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, I guess you'd have to like ask like an actual football player or just an athlete in general, like how they disassociate that. Like, this is a sport. I'm an athlete and I'm here to perform athletically and win and be with the team, versus here are the politics, the fans, the rest of the world that's sort of like also operating. Because even though they're connected, they're very different spheres, you know? Yeah. And you, like, even understand that, like, within, like, even for myself, like, playing, for example, cross country, back in high school, I was a part of the first team, the first year that cross country was started at my school. Mm-hmm. And, like, within the dynamics of, like, the team and, like, the runners and, like, the one coach who sacrificed his, like, evenings and afternoons to coach like this motley crew of like kids
essentially
yeah like literally like it's like a very different experience of like this is what I took away from the sport versus people like whose whole lives are based off this. For example, like an administrator who's like putting money into this program, it's a different sphere. And I feel like that sense of like fans and administrators do not know the experience of what I'm going through.
So
like they don't understand like the sport in the sense of like the individual and like how much like, is actually going on. And I say that, like, in a both a positive and a negative way, in the sense that, like, positively, when we did well, I think administrators were happy for you, but they did not understand how amazing that win was, or that amazing performance, right? Because it's like an individual performance. Ooh, like, it's like, it's like you, like, right. doing, accomplishing something for yourself versus accomplishing something for everyone else. The same thing as a defeat, the personal defeat versus this communal defeat.
Yeah.
You know, because like a communal defeat seems so demoralizing because everyone sort of, the amount of merchandise people bought for you and the amount that were probably, I was told by, Julie told me that today, that during football games that here at home, when the team loses, about like a quarter of the merchandise is returned the next day.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like a significant chunk is returned. Isn't that crazy?
That's interesting.
Like, and I'll imagine you.
Is that, now, by the way, is that associated with losing, or is that associated with people just burning it for the game?
No, it's losing. Wow. Whenever we lose, merchandise is returned back to the bookstore the next day.
That's sad, isn't it?
Isn't that sad? And now, like, imagine you being responsible for people returning merchandise. Like, don't you, wouldn't you feel like not just disappointed with yourself, but even more disappointed? Or, like, how do you train yourself? And, like, that's a lot to train yourself to disassociate and ignore that, like, whole world where you didn't just let down, like, yourself or your team. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of people who are super, like, mad at you. And because they're sports fans, they're invested.
See, I think a lot of it is the character of these players themselves. Like, I think when you take athletes, you can generally kind of classify them into different groups. You got your players that are like super level-headed. You barely get an interview out of them. You always get a consistent like 7 or 8 performance out of them. You're kind of under the radar, like dependable sort of players. Sometimes you get your players who are like super out there, interesting fashion choices. They're all over the media. That's probably gonna say some controversial thing someday, right? And I think you have to factor for all these personalities, right? Because I think there are some players that I think take these sorts of things very much to heart. Like, for example, like I love watching the Argentine national team for soccer.
Okay.
And they, throughout my life, have tortured me by making it to so many finals and losing every single one of them.
Right.
And so a lot of these players have gotten a lot of abuse.
Like from the media?
And from the media, from their fans, from
the
country.
The
like,
loss.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so one of the players, Angel Di Maria, he comes out, like I think a couple of years ago, and was like, yeah, I needed to go to a psychiatrist because like the memes were getting to me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And that was kind of my first reaction too. When you're like,
that's ridiculous.
Because you know the culture around memes. You're like, seriously, dude, memes got to you? But think about that though. Right? Like, I also had that first reaction, like, memes, really? Like, how soft are you? But if you really think about it, dude, imagine if every mistake that you ever made in your life or every failure of your life was just pointed out by everyone around you all the time. Like, you became the embodiment of your mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy pressure.
So how do you fix that, though? Or, like, can you even fix that? Especially with sports. Especially, like, with you in soccer, how soccer is such this niche super investment. I would say super investment. Maybe the investment looks different, but, like, since it's a global investment, how about that?
Global, it's a whole nother level.
The fact that, like, it's a global investment, like, can you, first of all, is the action of, let's say, memeing, or, like, making a meme, degrading a team, is that morally culpable for the individual?
That's right? I mean,
and like, can you even fix that, or should you not even have the expectations?
So let's say
that,
you say it is, right?
Like that it is morally culpable.
Right. Okay. What are the ramifications for sport in general, dude? You know?
I don't know. Like,
if you say that, and by the way, there's a lot of things wrong with the amount of abuse that these athletes get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But so much of what makes the athletes that they are is that sort of thing. How you respond to criticism, how you respond to that sort of environment and such. And it's really bad. Like, I think we as fans have to look at ourselves sometimes and just think about how much stock we're putting into this, right? And the players know, right? Without the fans, these players don't have anything, right? If people aren't tuning in, watching your games,
that's true,
aren't going to the stadiums, right? So any player who thinks that they're above what fans think of them and stuff like that, I find it hard to put too much stock into that, because at the end of the day, right, if you don't have an audience, you're not getting paid millions.
That's true.
Right? But then on the other side of that, right, some of the things that we as fans do are just deplorable.
Do you think that energy comes from the same, like the energy and investment to travel, let's say, across countries 100%, to watch a game is the same 100%. That makes really mean
That's
memes.
What it is though, right? Because I think we as fans, we look at this, right? Essentially the same thing that I just said a couple of seconds ago. You look at it like, I'm putting my time on the line for this. Yeah. I'm putting my viewership on the line for mm-hmm. this. I'm putting my commitments to this, and you give me this in return,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, we do not have a right to think of.
Exactly. But how do you curve that but still maintain an investment, you know, like,
and that's like the perennial question for sports in general, right? Like, I think without that, sports suck. Right, because without that level
like
of commitment, that level of investment, that level of commitment that fans have,
mm-hmm.
like, why would anybody care about anything? It'd be like, oh, there's a game going on.
I mean, like,
on. Cool.
Even like on campus, like, think of all the traditions that surround sports, like drum circle,
everything,
the band, like going into the main building and playing. Like, first of all, just the marching band in general.
Yeah,
like amazing tradition that came out of football.
Exactly.
Right. Like, it's an investment. And, like, obviously, like, we have, like, a roommate, Noah, who's, like, in the band. He invests, like, 3 hours, like, every day in practicing.
It's a commitment.
It's a commitment, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know what the, like, is it possible, like I said, to have the same investment like that, right? There's so much investment into an event, into a team.
Mm.
Is it even possible to not be deplorable in that sense? Because I feel like if, or like, as individuals outside of the sphere, looking from the outside, like looking at people who invest a lot of time, and also looking at people who are really mean, who have those shirts that say "muck fish again," like, can you hold them to a standard, or can you not, because it's a sports team?
See, the issue at the end of the day is that you got to hold yourself to these standards, right? No matter what we do, it's all about the mentality of the fans. And this is why, like I say, when you take a team like a New Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those people flew all the way over to Notre Dame to just get smashed. But they're not looking at it like, I flew all the way over here to lose like this, and this team's let me down or anything. Why? Because admittedly, like, they don't have any expectations beyond just going and watching a game, right? Mm. And I think the dangers come to a certain degree with the success of your team. If your team has no success, and if your team is constantly losing all the time, you're not really in it for anything other than the experience of watching the game and just supporting a team. But when you talk about these big name teams, like the Argentine national team, like Manchester City, like Notre Dame, there's an expectant feeling about each game that you have to win. And not only win, you have to win convincingly. If we play New Mexico this past Saturday and we win like 21-17 or something, people would be calling for these players' heads.
Yeah.
Is unacceptable. How can you only win by 4 points against New Mexico? If New Mexico beats Notre Dame by 4 points, they'd throw parties for days,
right?
It's so much about the perspective. And I think that adds a whole nother layer to it, because especially like when you, like we said, like the difference in the college atmosphere, when you come from these schools that are just held to this standard of having to perform all the time, and you also add in the extra level of like not only performing all the time because I want you to, but also because my name is attached to this.
Yeah.
Right? why do you think it's so passionate, right? Your Clemsons, your Alabamas, your Notre Dames, your Georgias. Like, this next weekend when Notre Dame travels to Georgia, like, College Game Day is going to be there and everything. Oh, it's going to be crazy. Mm. It's going to be crazy. Even people in Georgia, like Athens, they're already talking about how, like, the city's going to burn down for a day. Because it's just, there's so much on the line for both teams.
Yeah.
Right? And I think every Notre Dame fan is kind of scared of that game. Let's be real here. But also, all the Georgia fans are feeling the same way. There's a lot of pride at stake for these things. But once again, right, for all of that, you also have the people, like, I know seniors here who literally don't have senior, who literally don't have season tickets to football. Mm. Which, by the way, I respect so much.
Yeah.
Because do you know how much independence that takes to make that decision?
I think especially here. Like, as
especially here.
As a student, like, you have the expectation that once Friday around, probably like once Friday hits in general, you're not going to probably get work done. especially if you're in a guy's dorm, you're not going to get any work done. Yeah. Music starts already. Everyone's always asking you, like, when you come into the game. And people, I don't think, a lot of people don't really think about, like, how expensive, like, season tickets are, honestly. Mm-hmm. At least for a student.
Fair.
Like, the fact that, like...
I mean, comparatively to how much other people are paying, not really. But even so, it is very expensive. Even so,
like, think of, like, all those low-income students, like ourselves, who are thinking about, like, oh my gosh. At least I thought about freshman year. I'm like, you know, I probably have to buy these season tickets. Because everyone's going to go to these
games. And that's the thing,
like,
right?
That's the mentality, like, yep.
And if you even go to the games, right? I think generally there's this phenomenon that within, like, the first 15 minutes of the game, people are so hype. And then it just kind of dies down. Because let's be real here, right? Even in the student section, there are plenty of people who don't understand how football works.
Yeah.
Not even a clue. They're just there for the experience, or they're just there. And I'm not saying, like, you need to understand the sport to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right? But to even... more of a degree, there are people who go there not because they enjoy it, but because everybody else is going.
Yeah.
I mean, my first day at a football game in my freshman year, there was this girl sitting next to me that just looked depressed the whole time. And she was like, oh, this sucks. And I was like, no, it's fun. This is the whole college experience, yada, yada, yada. She left like 5 minutes into the game. Imagine that though, right? Like, you pay like $200 for season tickets and only because everybody else, and you go there and you still don't like the experience, right? Mm. I really, really respect the independence of people who can look at something like that and just be like, no, like, football's not really my thing. And yeah, everybody's going to be watching it this weekend, but, like, that's not my thing.
That takes a lot of autonomy.
Yeah.
I remember one time I had to tell everyone that I wasn't going to go to a game last, I think it was last year or freshman year, because they had a huge paper to work on. It's like a huge philosophy paper.
Yeah.
And it took probably like 4 to 5 like different reassurances, like, yeah, I'm not going.
Yeah.
Like, are you sure? Why aren't you
going? Yeah.
And then, like, a few minutes later, like, wait, are you sure? Why aren't you going? Yeah. Like, from, like, at least everyone in the friend group.
Yeah. Because like, it's unfathomable. Why would you miss a... Yeah.
And that's, I think, the attitude that I don't appreciate that comes from sports is that, like, why aren't you coming?
Mm.
Because, you know, again, like, it's really fun. You spend time with community. But, like...
I think a lot of it is also, like, finding your vibe. Like, I can totally understand why you wouldn't want to watch football. If you're just not about the sort of thing that that game's into. I know people who protest watching football for reasons such as, like, concussions and all the CTE and all that stuff that's come up. That's a whole nother conversation. We could be talking for hours if we go into that. But, like, people have their reasons for not watching it. Like, I love soccer. But I can also understand how some people are not willing to sit through 90 minutes of people just kicking a ball around. I get that, right? Personally, I think there's a lot more to that, but I understand that from an individual level.
Right.
Right? If you don't understand that, imagine the pressure where, like, and this would never happen, right? But imagine the pressure if everybody was going to a soccer game every single weekend, and you're going to be that guy who doesn't like it, but you just kind of had to deal with it. And even pay for it to go to this experience.
90-minute game of people kicking a soccer ball. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
no offense to Jake.
But when you view it in that sort of perspective, yeah, I really respect people who have, like you said, the autonomy to say, you know what, this isn't my thing. And sure, you can discover whatever that thing is for you as well. But I think if more people were more reflective about that sort of thing, you'd get a way more different environment for a lot of these games too. Because I think you'd kind of, your audience would be mostly the people who are very, very invested in it.
Mm-hmm. And going
for better or for worse. Because, you know, if you have an audience that's only people who are super invested in it, imagine what kind of environment that would be, right? To some degree, right? And maybe I'm contradicting myself here, right? But sports also need those casual fans. I think athletes need those casual fans. Those guys who are like, you won, you lost, whatever, right?
Right.
Imagine if everybody was like a cutthroat, like, diehard fan of the sport. And like, even like recently, like, I went and I watched a volleyball game
mm-hmm.
with one of my friends, and it was so fun. Because neither of us had very little of a clue of what was going on. And we just, like, watched it, like, fairly neutrally. Yeah, we supported Notre Dame. Yeah, Notre Dame won, just saying. But, yeah, it was fun because, you know, there weren't any, like, greater attachments to it. Like, even when I watch Notre Dame soccer sometimes, like, as a fan, sometimes you get frustrated because, like, if you understand the sport to a certain level, you're like, oh, they're messing this thing up, they're messing that thing up. And these players can all do that thing better than I could, but they mess it up, and I'm like, oh, that's pathetic. How could you do that?
Wait, real quick, before we run out of time, we should talk about your high school experiences of, like, all the good things that sports taught. And I would say that, like, like, as a high school student, when I said no to playing football, I think that, again, in this pressure, peer pressure of, like, everyone has to do football when you're in a small school.
Yeah.
When I said no, I think it really told or taught me how to be, like, an agent and a free agent of, like, my own will, even though, like, the coach spoke to me, the team spoke to me, who are my friends, obviously, because they're all the guys in the school.
Mm.
And, like, you hear rumors about it from the adults in the community and stuff. Like, it's like, it was a big backlash.
Yeah.
And I think that really taught me how to, be, like, self-sufficient, or, like, I guess a sense of, like, I am my own person. And then going into a new sport that I've never been into, like, cross-country.
Mm.
I think cross-country in particular taught me what patience is. Because, and again, 5 kilometers is not a lot. But when you're super tired and running, you have to be really patient and be okay with hurting for like 20 minutes. And again, that may not be the same as like soccer, because you guys run a lot more, but like, you just have to be okay. Because like, something about cross country is that time just slows down. That pain, man. Oh my gosh. Like, the experience of the pain just elongates, and you just got to be patient in the pain like that. And that's what cross country taught me.
Yeah. I think, I know a lot of people who haven't like had that sort of experience of playing sports for a school and stuff like that, and like, for various reasons, but I think you really do miss something if you don't go through that experience at least a little bit, even if you rode the bench the whole time. I would not necessarily say it's a great experience, but the things you learn from it. I was starting on my varsity soccer team from freshman year, sophomore year, junior year. Tore my ACL. That was kind of the end of that story. But you have this sort of pressure that isn't explicitly really put on you by anybody other than your teammates or your coach or like maybe your parents or whatever.
Mm.
But not really at an institutional level, right? Like, sure, you got like your higher ups who come to the games and stuff like that, and they want to make sure like the program's like going well. The
administrator,
well. Yeah, like the headmaster comes, and you're like, oh, now I really gotta. This one's for you, right? But at the same time, though, it just felt like so much pressure at times. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, like I had my freshman year, we made it all the way to the finals. And I got a concussion in my semifinal game, and Ooh. Our athletic trainer didn't allow me to play in the game that was like 4 days later,
mm-hmm.
which in hindsight, very good decision. At the time, I was like, no, you're ruining my life. This is my one chance to play at the championship. Everybody's watching. Like, what, 25 people are watching this game? Okay. Right? So that was my first one. Then my sophomore year, we made the finals again.
Uh-huh.
And that game, we just lost on, like, some bogus penalty call. I'm still salty about that. You can hear it just in my tone alone when I said that.
Bogus penalty call.
But then my junior year, I got, like, I think I partially tore my ACL halfway through that season. And I was playing the last couple of games injured. Because even in my mind, I was saying to myself, I was like, you know what? Me, like, slightly injured is still better than some of these guys on the team.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It plays into like your mindset. Jerk. Yeah, it plays into your mindset, right? It's so bad. And so you kind of construct these own notions in your head about the importance of these things. Like, that specific game was like a quarterfinal game. It went to penalties. I'd never missed a penalty in my life. So obviously I was due for it. And I missed the penalty. I was the only one who missed and our team lost. And I was bawling. I was like, I let the whole team down. Yada, yada, yada. I sat like, so the whole team like left on the bus. I was like, no, I'm not going to go on the bus. I'm just going to travel back with my parents. I stayed on the field. Like classic like Oscar nomination movie scene. I sit on the grass and I stare at the goal and I make a promise to myself. I'm like, next year I'm gonna kill it. I am gonna play so well. I'm gonna carry this team. And I tore my ACL. But
dreams crushed.
Man, it like the impact that penalty miss alone had on me for like the next 3 days.
Like in a good way or a bad way?
Oh, like in a bad way. Because I was walking through school like depressed. And people were like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I missed a penalty and our team got kicked out. And like teachers are like, wait, that happened? Like, I didn't even know you guys had a game, right? Like, that's the significance level of this. But to me, it's like, oh my God. That's
funny.
We just lost the World Cup and it's all my fault. So I think so much of it is obviously there's a pressure that comes because you're performing for a school, you're representing your school. Representing, I think, is the key word there because you really are representing. Yeah. You're wearing that high school's name across your chest. But also, I think we unnecessarily put, especially at that level, you unnecessarily put a lot of pressures on yourself that aren't there, at all. And I think once I tore my ACL, kind of like sat out of it, then you kind of realize the nature of it. You're like, yeah, it's important.
So the fact that you played a sport and then tore your ACL made you realize
different perspective altogether. And then you come to college and you play things like intramurals. Intramurals are the most fun I've ever had playing soccer.
Yeah.
Because there was never an association with fun with playing the game in high school, right? No coach tells you to go out there and have fun. Like, go out there and win. And if you win, but you don't win well enough, it's still not fun.
That's true. I've definitely felt that too.
The only fun in the game just came from winning. And so when you go to like over here in intramurals where people have never kicked a ball in their life, but like you lose, but you're like, whatever, that was still fun. Like, it's a game. And at the end of the day, right? Like, that's, I think, the biggest takeaway of this whole thing. It's a game. It's a game. We forget that so much. It's a game. So at the end of the day, the more you can detach yourself from everything else around that and just focus on the fact that it's a game, I think the whole realm of sports becomes a lot healthier. And I think, honestly, a lot more people would tune into sports, a lot more people would play sports and all if that was the environment. You're not going to play a sport if you're stressed out about it. What is this thing going to do to me? What are people thinking?
I feel like in high school, you don't even think about the like sports for fun.
Yeah.
What's that?
Right. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Too much pressure along.
And that's definitely... I don't know if it's from everyone, but that's like the culture of like sports for fun.
Yeah.
That's like, that's being a wimp.
So I definitely say main takeaway, sports are supposed to be fun. Like
sports are supposed to be fun.
It's a game. It's a game. It's a game. And we keep forgetting that. And I understand the emotional attachment people have. I even understand the attachments that we have with being students at a school like this. But at the end of the day, right, it's a game. It's a game, and we have to treat it that way, and we have to treat everybody involved in it that way, and we have to treat ourselves as fans or as players alike that way. And I think that's how it grows. That's how it becomes something that really impacts more people in a positive way.
All right. We'll wrap it up with that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Again, Ben and Frank, College Conversations, will be on every Thursday at 8 p.m. Thank you. Have an awesome night.